So our next guest on today's Food, Wine, and Travel show with the International Food, Wine, Travel Association is Douglas McKenzie. He's the director of the media relations at Visit Phoenix in the beautiful Sonoran Desert. Phoenix is the capital of Arizona. You got to go there. Check it out. Go to visitphoenix.com. I mean, the desert. Arizona has a desert, but it is also beautiful with wildflowers in the spring. And the desert is beautiful. It's our friend. It really is. And we haven't seen the desert for a year now. And so we're kind of a little homesick. So we're really excited to have Doug back on the show. Welcome back, Doug. How are you?
Boy, thank you for inviting me to the show. We're great out here.
Cool.
Oh, that's good. Tell me, what does it look like? Because, you know, Nancy and I, since we talked with you last year, I think we were almost on the same day, like, you know, February last year, 2000, right before the real pandemic thing hit, right? You were on the show. And it was Deborah from City Pass on our show with IFTWA, the IFTWA, everybody. And I remember we were in the desert, in the high desert. We had just started back on our tour again, and I just, you know, your area at this time of year, it's got to be like, it's the best. It's the best.
We are just loving it compared when we look at all the polar vortex going in our northern latitude friends up north and back east. We've been having some wonderfully sunny days in the 70s and gorgeous sunsets at night.
Oh.
And what I love about this time of year is that our citrus are just about ready. You can walk down neighborhoods and smell the pungent, fresh smell of grapefruit and oranges and lemons.
Nice. Really? That's you know what? I want to tell you, I understand now about snowbirds. Nancy and I, when we were in Madison, Wisconsin for December and a little bit into January, and there's a difference between snow shoveling in California or Arizona and snow shoveling there and ice. And I'm not saying it's bad, but I understand is what I'm saying. I understand why some folks want to get down into some warmer climates like Arizona. I always call them sun seekers, but yeah, snowbirds, sun seekers. I get it. It, you know, it was a new thing for us to learn. And I was just like, oh my gosh, the sun is different there. It's not the same as, and I'm not knocking it because every place has its beauty, but I get it. The sun can come out, but it doesn't have that warming effect. You know what I mean, Doug?
It's our friend. You can definitely leave your parkas behind when you visit here.
Oh, yeah. Man. So when did the wildflowers start?
We had a couple of rains around the holidays, so they will really start blooming in just a few weeks, probably about mid-March. They'll be wonderfully blooming. The cactus will be blooming. It's a wonderful time of year when all of our flowers are just look so gorgeous. One of my favorite places to visit is the Desert Botanical Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And they have so many types of cactus that in the springtime are blooming. And they even have once a month flashlight tours at night. So you can even see all of the cactus during the evening hours, and that's sort of special as well. But I love it down there. I'm usually there about once a month just to see the different types. There's so many cactus.
We haven't done that yet. One of our travel writers, Tiva Eldridge, went and wrote an article, did an interview with us, and I'm like, no, we need to go personally. So that's definitely when we head back west, that's a place we want to go to. Because the one thing too, Doug, it is that the desert is really a year-round destination that I think that we forget about. We think about the desert in the winter as a great destination to get away from the big snows and everything. However, it is year-round, right, for folks who may want to come out in the summer.
It definitely is a year-round. In the summer, we have such good value rates at our many resorts. And, you know, if you have kids or family, they have so many pools and water slides and things to do. And early in the morning, it's wonderful to be outside with sports and hikes. and at night for outdoor dining when everything is gorgeous during the evening with just some of our misters out. And what you're not going to find is the deep humidity you would find on the East Coast and the Midwest in the summer. So it's a wonderful place to visit year round.
Mm. And of course, the last time we spoke it was right before the COVID thing happened, and then COVID and you know, everybody's been hit in a different way. So if you can, I know everything can change, and that's the thing. So everybody always go to the website, call before you go, go to visitphoenix.com. But what are some of the things, I mean, are hotels, restaurants open? Where are we on what people can do and keep social distance? Because I know that's still important right now.
Well, we certainly encourage, you know, safety first during this pandemic. But we have so many of our restaurants already have outdoor dining. So
mm-hmm.
We have done outdoor dining for decades. So that's a wonderful respite. It's not something new, or it's not something that, you know, we put on a street or something, but it's wonderful patios and views of the mountains and the desert. So that's wonderful. Some indoor dining is open now at a limited capacity, but dining outside, I just had dinner a few nights ago outside, and it was just wonderful. The hotels or occupancy levels are going to be less than full occupancy because of the pandemic. But so many of our resorts are really one- and two-story type structures, and
mm-hmm.
the doors open right out into the desert with the different casinos and things. So for the most part, you're not in a tall hotel where you have to go up and down an elevator and enclosed hallways. You open the door and you're really outside in the desert. So that's very, very healthy. And we're an outdoor city. People are enjoying our desert. We have so many hiking trails to hike throughout the desert. Golf is certainly a big, big, wonderfully safe and socially distant sport that many people are getting back to and enjoying golf. Certainly horseback riding and all of our desert activities are just perfect for a safe and socially distant visit.
I know, in the desert, I mean, the hiking, I mean, even when we lived in Tucson, it was just so beautiful to get up early in the morning. The desert, you just change your rhythm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get up early in the morning, you see these sunrises that you just, that's something I kind of miss. Like, we'd be in Louisiana, Doug, and I'm like, I'm getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and everyone looks at me like I'm nuts. I'm like, well, I want to get out there for the sunrise, and there's nothing. You can't even photograph. There's so much humidity. I'm like, I don't understand this. Like, take me home. No, not really. We really had a good time, but there's something about getting up really early. It's beautiful, even in the summer, you know, to get out there. The wildlife is still around at that time. You will see deer and, depending on where you are, and just different wildlife. I mean, even Gila monsters, if you're lucky, and things, coatis, depending on where you go. The wildlife, to me, it's so cool. If you go out super early in the morning, see that sunrise, that will just, you know, throw you down on the floor. It's so beautiful. And then, you go out, maybe, you know, shop or golf or do what you're saying. But you have siesta time, which is margarita time, too. You know, we can do that. Have a little outdoor time. Our rhythms change a little bit in the desert, and it's beautiful. And I also want to say the summer is one of the most underrated places of the desert. The monsoon season is insanely cool. If you watch a monsoon storm, there's nothing like margaritas in a sunstorm. I mean, monsoon storm. That I miss those. Those are awesome.
Those are very special with our nice rains, and then you can certainly you smell the mesquite and the Palo Verde trees that brings it out, and a nice dappling of rain will cool things down, and then choose one of our many places to have a very tasty margarita.
I know, it's cool.
But you bring sunsets and sunrises are just gorgeous beyond description, with turquoise and orange and reds, it really is a picture perfect sunrise or sunset.
I was going to ask, what about swimming? Is that something that you can do in places, or is that social distance? Swimming and the festivals, because I know normally you have festivals and baseball and everything, so I know some of that may be curtailed, just so people, you know to plan on doing something different if they need to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say almost all of the hotel pools are open, and they've socially distanced the lounge chairs and the seating and the capacity in the pools to make it more comfortable for everyone. Most of our large gatherings have been postponed currently.
Mm-hmm.
They are planning some spring training, but going through some talks right now on the limit of fans that can attend each game. So those will be limited. We just had our Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Open Golf Tournament, and that was open but to a reduced number of fans. So some of our events are still going on, but you have the chance to be socially distanced and visit things like our farms, our peach farm. That's going to peach season is going to happen in about a month, where you can go pick peaches by the bucket and have fresh peaches. I like going to the olive farm, and they have 20 different types of olive oil and a nice outdoor dining area. And you can try different olive oil and olive oil tasting with the olive trees. So there certainly is a variety of outdoor activities that that really make for a visit to our destination.
How are your wineries doing? Because I know the region, I mean, Arizona has amazing wine. I know people that may not think that, but listen, desert and wine have been going hand in hand since ancient times. So, I mean, does wine play into any of this for Phoenix? I know it's kind of around the corner from you, but you're talking about peaches and oranges and citrus that, you know, people may not realize is out in the desert, but, you know, it is, it's there. But wine,
oh, it is.
That's
we have more than, 80 vineyards, and a lot of them are in southern Arizona, and then only about an hour and a half away in Cottonwood, where you can take a wonderful tour of the vineyards and stay outside and do some wine tastings. They have some wine tasting rooms here in Phoenix as well, if you don't want to travel that far, but it's fun to see the vineyards. But they also have wine tasting rooms here and bring the grapes and the wines right to you here, so you don't have to travel as far. And they most of them have outdoor seating as well. And certainly some of the wines are just wonderful and refreshing.
The other thing, too, is social distancing. One thing we've noticed is, and it's actually something we have going with our Love Your Parks tour, as we travel the country in our tour, is we're documenting parks, community parks. As soon as COVID hit, we were like glad we're sharing community parks because people realize the importance of them, no matter if you're a visitor or not. But we also were talking about public art and people doing public art walks or driving from, you know, to see the different pieces of art became something almost like a treasure hunt for people as an activity that is social, you know, a social distance activity. What's Phoenix like in regards to public art and things that people can experience in the arts and, you know, stay safe?
What is a wonderful pieces of public art is in our downtown section of Phoenix called Roosevelt Row. And we have many blocks of Latinx type murals that are on the sides of the buildings and all outside, and you can leisurely walk and visit all of the wonderful, wonderful murals that are in downtown Phoenix, and some of our art and sculptures that that are outside. So it's a wonderful way to experience public art while staying socially distanced.
Well, I like too, because it tells the history, you know, it tells the culture of a place. Public art does, you know, and I think it's great for the artist, you know, it's great for the community. It's great for the visitor. It's just, I love that in, you know, COVID in a word sucks, right? It's not anything fun that any of us wanted to go through, but we learned about what we can do that we may not have done as much of beforehand. And I think public art is one of those things that everybody kind of went, oh, let's go and do a day drive or go for a walk. Are there walking tours or self-guided walking tours that people can do in the downtown district? I know there's hiking in the great outdoors, but what about the downtown, like the historic areas? I have a friend who is a gardening expert, actually, and she lives in this, I think it's the historic Coronado district or something, but they have like house tours or something once a year, or house walks where you go see all these historic homes. You know, I know maybe some of those events are gone away, but are there like historic walking tours?
There are certainly maps and self-guided tours. What's very unique this month in Black History Month is we do have some wonderful, very culturally rich murals that celebrate Black History Month as well.
Oh, wow.
And those are easily accessible through some self-guided maps. Yes, they usually do have some house tours, and I'm not sure to what extent they're going to offer them this season. If they're just going to show off maybe some of their gardens or just limit the amount of people inside. But some of those tours show the historical homes and really the true flavor of our Phoenix historical district.
Cool. Do you have like retro homes? Like I know like Modernism Week in Tucson was such a big deal. Is that for Phoenix too? Do you have that kind of architecture that goes with the old school resort style? Like we haven't done downtown. We haven't done Phoenix at all. Like Nancy and I, we know the desert land, but we like, you know, I know you're close to the Grand Canyon and was driven by through on highways getting from A to B, but have not had the pleasure of really staying in Phoenix yet. And experiencing it, but when you talk about architecture, what kind of styles are we looking at?
There's certainly the retro ranch home style.
Oh, cool.
That is very unique. Of course, many places are Frank Lloyd Wright inspired.
Mm.
You know, including the Arizona Biltmore Resort, and then his home that he used to live in called Taliesin West. Here, which is another great place to visit and learn more about Frank Lloyd Wright and see his famous, it's now a UNESCO heritage site.
Cool.
For Taliesin
cool.
West. So that's another great place to visit and learn more about Frank Lloyd Wright. There are so many buildings and things that are Frank Lloyd Wright inspired throughout the greater Phoenix area. So that's very unique.
Is there like a national trail for him? We were just in Madison, Wisconsin, and there was like Frank Lloyd Wright. We're here in Biltmore land in Asheville, North Carolina today. And I'm thinking like we should just do a Frank Lloyd Wright map or something, Nancy, as we travel.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be kind of cool because it's he went everywhere. But
yeah, he did.
But yeah, Phoenix, that's what I was kind of thinking. I was like, I was for sure that Phoenix was on the like a map somewhere for architecture, you know, and getting and it's something that I think the resort, you know, it's kind of like Palm Springs in a way, right, Doug, with the resort culture. And do you have that with like movie stars and like John Wayne and everybody coming out to Phoenix?
Oh, exactly. We're an example is the Arizona Biltmore with their Catalina Pool, where Marilyn Monroe spent a lot of time, and we have some other wonderful resorts like the Hotel Valley Ho in Old Town Scottsdale, which is a very retro orange and turquoise look from the 50s with a martini-shaped pool. So you're going to definitely find, you know, some
like
wonderful
that.
Elements of the retro and great architectural history.
Cool. And then the history. I mean, oh, are the museums open? That was the other thing. There are galleries, museums. I mean, where are we on that? I know a lot of places we've been to over the last year here, it's just they've kind of staggered the amount of people going in at the same time.
Yes, they our museums are open with some guidelines on the how many attendees can be in at once. But you know, I love the Heard Museum. It's the largest collection of Native American artifacts in North America, and that's a lovely place to visit. The MIM, our Musical Instrument Museum, houses over 6,000 instruments from around the globe.
Awesome.
A great place to visit. That is
on my bucket list. My bucket list for years. We've had friends perform there, Makana and, you know, Pete, Nancy, Brendan Ross, who played with Johnny Clegg. I mean, I want to go there so bad. You have no idea. I love music instruments and, you know, we're both musicians, so I don't know. But I know a lot of our artists and musicians have performed there. And they all say on our radio shows that this is one of the best venues.
It's the deal.
It's a museum, but there's a performance venue. So this is, I think Richie Havens played there once when you and I were in Flagstaff, and he was doing a tour, and we missed both things. But you said MIM. Sorry, you get a little giddy around here about that. So one day we'll get there.
No, they do have a great performance venue. So that's one of my favorite places. Also, our butterfly exhibit is so unique with where you can walk in the butterfly garden. They even have on Fridays butterfly yoga, where you can do yoga in the exhibit, and butterflies will land on you. And oh, it's a lot of fun.
You can be a butterfly.
I want to be a butterfly. Yoga. I know people are doing goats and yoga, goat yoga
goat
or something,
yoga.
But. Butterfly yoga sounds good. That's cool. Yeah. So you've got the art museums. The museums are open. Nancy and I have done a lot of gardens this year, too. And, yeah, they stagger it. But I'm going to say, in a way, it's kind of nicer. But you also want the places to get enough visitors to stay solid and be able to be funded. So that's the other thing. I don't know how we're all going to, you know, move with all of this. But places do need to have their visitorship, but at least they're not having visitorship. You know, I just don't know how it's going to happen at the end of the day where it all, I don't know. It's just wherever we can donate to, you know, that's kind of how I look at it too. The other thing, you know, as I always say at the end of the day, you have the great outdoors in the West, hiking, kayaking, national parks. You have Grand Canyon's not that far from you. Petrified Forest isn't that far either. Yeah.
The Sedona Red Rocks are just a couple hours away to visit that. Of course, the Grand Canyon. And certainly we have our state parks. That so many hiking trails, so many good mountain ranges to visit that it's really just a delight to be outdoors here.
That's awesome. Well, we can't wait. We're going to be coming back through the West this year. We can't wait. You've kind of whet our appetite. And you said MIM.
Yeah.
I will do anything to get to MIM. We will go there. It's on our list. Has to happen.
We'll make it happen for you. Yes.
We really want to go. Yeah, you have no idea how bad. Like, you know, in Carlsbad, California, there's a music museum as well, and it's amazing too. And it's just like they're rare to find, and it opens your eyes and ears to all these instruments that, you know, you understand where the oboe comes from, and you understand like Celtic music, you know, because you're Douglas McKenzie, right? So you know half of your music comes from the Middle East. even though you're Scottish, right, Doug?
Well, they have a wonderful bagpipe collection there too that I love.
Oh, see, so wait a minute. So you've got Scottish descent. I'm like, you. Not only are you Mackenzie, like true Mackenzie in your name, but Douglas. That means you are like pure Scottish, right? So, like, really, with your name, I'm just going to go from there. But when did you get to Phoenix? Were you born and raised there? And you know, what do you like about living there?
I was born just 2 hours south in Tucson. Dad was a geologist and came out here to mine copper.
This is a
big copper-producing state.
Right.
So I've grown up with the cactus at my side for many years.
Wow.
And it's been a wonderful journey to see the state grow and develop wonderful amenities, so many wonderful resorts, and such a great culinary focus too, because of the farms and the citrus and what grows here. So many people can use, you know, fresh lettuce from the western part of the state, and all the citrus and dairy farms, and you know, the agritourism component is just wonderful here. So, like when the peach season comes, every place has peach cobbler and peach margaritas.
I was going to say margaritas, yeah. You know, cool. I love that you bring up the farm, and I think you did that too the last time we talked. And I think that's something that people just don't expect about Arizona. You think flat desert. If you've never been there and, you know, maybe not know about it, you think of the desert and you see the Gumby cactus and that's that. And there's so much more. It's so biodiverse, and each part of the desert is different. And, you know, it's like Tucson is different than Phoenix, like really night and day if you get to know the desert. And what you can grow in Tucson is not the same in Phoenix, but you can, but you can't. You know what I mean? It's like this
something.
It's amazing how just that one little temperature drop can be. And I've watched, you know, Arizona Highway segments on Phoenix on PBS and things, and we haven't done a lot in your area as much, and we will fix that. We're getting to everything. Our favorite word is yet, because it's, you know, we've got a world to explore. But I always watched about these, you know, farm dinners and farm to table in Phoenix. And I was like, just driving on a highway, you would never know that about Phoenix when you drive through, that there's farm to table restaurants. And from what I know from our friends too, is that there's a lot of organic, there's an organic movement. It is about eating fresh. And I love that you bring that up, because I want people to know how diverse desert communities are and how amazing they are. It's cool. And you get really good food out of them. You know, you really do. Cause I think we understand the ingredients too. As desert people, you know, not to waste either. You can't, you know, when something comes in harvest, you get it.
Oh yes. And even, you know, we even have how to cook with cactus. Those are those are good classes. We have a you know, a wonderful selection of tequila tastings going on with different agaves. We have you know, just so many of the wonderful ingredients. I know Chef Silvana makes her guacamole with fresh pomegranates.
Oh,
yeah, what a nice spin for guacamole, but that is.
Hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
So now, do you have distilleries in Phoenix?
No.
No distilleries. Okay.
The closest one, I think, is in Tucson, Xavier Del Bac.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But we have
okay.
a wonderful selection of craft breweries. In fact, we have one of the very few breweries that is run by Megan Greenwood, one of the first female craft brewer owners.
Well, we
in
like
America.
That. We like that.
So it's called Greenwood Brewery. So she makes her own wonderful, wonderful craft beers. So that's
cool.
Definitely unique.
I love this that you are a Scotsman raised in the desert. I love it because it goes with our heritage, living in all kinds of climates and Africa and everything. It's kind of that same feel of being in a different place, you know, growing up in a different just and something that's different than what your DNA is. Do you ever have you been to Scotland?
Yes, yes.
Cool. Oh, very cool. Yes. Well, you got golf in common, right? Golf.
Oh yes, we have over 170 golf courses right around here. In fact, one
that's
of our resorts, the Westin Kierland, has a piper every night at sunset.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
And they have Scotch library with about 200 different types of Scotch. So that's
cool. Well, then who needs a distillery?
I want a library card.
Really. That I know. That's the best library card. Really, that is awesome. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us, Doug, and keeping us informed of what's going on with Phoenix. We really appreciate it. It's, you know, capital city of Arizona. Arizona, everybody, is just an amazing destination. Please put it on your bucket list. As you're doing road tripping across the country, I know a lot of us are road tripping. Check it out, right? You're right off the interstate.
Without a doubt, please.
Mm-hmm.
You're invited. Come visit.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone, visit Phoenix.com. It's a place to go. We want to thank the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association for bringing us these amazing guests onto our show. And you can keep up with IFTWA's, we say, is IFWTWA.org. And, you know, Doug's on the show, so we're going to play some Arizona music from our friends Michael and Spider. You can find this music on Amazon, Bandcamp. This is from their album Perfume of Creosote, Desert Exotica 1, because the desert is exotic. It truly is, just like what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is called Rock Gardens, Swimming Pools, and Barbecues. So here it is, Rock Gardens, Swimming Pools,
wonderful.
And Barbecues.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, Doug. You take care. Take care, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Big Red Radio. See you on Sunday.